contract. So we're asking them to develop a work order package for the rest of the project, which would include the rain gardens and the north and west part of the trail, and then the other stormwater improvements, repairing the erosion and putting in a couple pipes and the brick flume.
You say the first package that was approved is the trail going across the north?
Running alongside Berkeley, connecting the sidewalk on Berkeley to the lake path.
Got it.
The reason we narrowed the scope to that is that that's the only part of the project that LWCF wants us to include in the scope for their grant funding. And the deadline for completing the work for that grant is June 30th. So we wanted to get the ball rolling on that as quick as possible. But hopefully we'll be able to get the rest of the project approved and under budget in time to dovetail it with this first phase, so that we can save some on mobilization costs and, you know, creating a construction entrance, those kind of things.
Okay, good. Good news. Glad to hear that. Thank you, Paul. Any questions for Paul?
Do we have an idea of when ground might break? So when will the people in the area see activity?
They're going to want to get it done as quick as they can. So it'll just depend on when he can get people mobilized, but I would think within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So there might be some buzz around town in the next couple of weeks. All right.
There's always buzz around town. Can you be more specific?
Well, I'm hoping that it'll be positive comments, but they'll probably be negative. And that's what I'm just kind of wondering, when all the discussion, all the talking will happen. And it will be once they break ground and somebody sees activity. So
what are the plans to communicate that, Paul? Do you know?
Well, it was featured in the print newsletter, I think the last issue. I'm sure there'll be something in it in the issue that'll go out in March. And, you know, Ellen's behind it. She's been communicating it through the e-news and the other social media channels. I've sort of recruited Jan Hover to be sort of a neighborhood spokesperson. She's a little reluctant to cold call her neighbors, so to speak. But I'm trying to keep her informed, just, you know, in case the people that are right there in the vicinity talk amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Okay, and moving right along, I think we're going to go right into that planning and budgeting discussion. If y'all are ready to move, we wanted to talk about a couple of operation and maintenance things, and we were talking about the lake path and some things around there. So, Steve, why don't you share your estimate with us right off the top.
Yeah. Does everybody have that? Or do you want me to bring it up?
Oh, bring it up. That'd be good.
All right. Give me a sec.
Mm-hmm. Even better.
All right. Okay. Okay. Can everybody see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, it's not as good. I think it was you, Leslie, that said, oh, it's really reasonable. It's not as good as you think.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, so let me explain it to you. So I walked the trail with RMG, with March Glenn, owner of RMG, who he was with the original company that built the improvements around the lake. He's now on his own independent and has done some work for the lake, I mean, for the city. And so the issues I wanted him to look at was, first of all, in the low areas where a lot of the fines have gathered and actually gone across the path, I said, think of this as something that probably needs some level of excavation, probably a couple of inches to pull up those fines. And then give me a haul off price if you had to haul it. I'm thinking you can probably use some of it back in the path, but just for the base number, tell me what the haul off amount would be. And that's that second, I'm sorry, the third line, which is debris removal. And it would be the haul off of the fines that have settled into the low areas. Mm-hmm. He estimates that to be about 20 to 30 yards. Now, what he's given here is, since all he can do is estimate it, and that's all he would do is estimate it, he assumes that would be about a 20 to 30 yard haul off. So that's $95 a load. So that's, if it was 20 yards, it would be $1,900 for that amount of haul off.
Okay.
All right. Then the second thing is come back with what's called mini slate. So the company that makes the slate makes it in a number of different grades. What was used out there is what's called trail mix, which is the best combination of materials for a trail. It's a mixture of fines and mini chips. What I told him is, let's just come back with mini chips because the fines, there's enough of a grade that the fines are migrating and I don't think we need them anymore. So I said, give me a cost of just replacing those higher areas where the path has migrated from, and you would now have about a 2 to 3 inch gap in some cases from the edge of the stone. Estimate the quantity of slates chips we would need to fill those areas back up. And I said, as well as there's a little, you know, in the areas where that you're excavating the fines in the low area, let's also put a thin layer of minis back on that. So we have it back to a regular path and it's not just the fines, which don't drain very well. You'll notice that there's little places along the path that just pond for about 12 to 24 hours after a rain event. So this would make it all basically the minis on the top layer. And he estimates that's between 40 and 50 yards of that at $325 a yard. So the low end estimate would be about 13,000 to bring those in and move those around, do the labor. And then the top line is he did give the actual labor estimation. He thinks it's about 32 man hours at $47 an hour. So that number is good, 1520. So if you take the 1520, add 13,000 to it, add 1900 to it, this would come out roughly to about 16,420 to do the entire path, redo it, haul off the fines, which again, we might not have to haul off as many because we might mix that back in with some of the minis and the higher elevations where we need to fill back in. So that's his rough estimate. There's no way he says he can actually give a real solid lump sum and say, this is it. The best he can do is give you an estimation, and these are his fees based on that estimation.
That's awesome. No, that's good. That's great.
And that would also include, you know, in a lot of places, these fines have bled over into the lawn and across the stones. This would include all the cleaning up of that so that all the path material would be back inside the path.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
That's awesome. Really. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Steve?
Nope.
Okay. We're rolling.
It's been roughly 11 years since the path was put in. So, I mean, that's pretty good that it got to 11 years and with little to no maintenance. So, but it's now probably time to do maintenance.
Yeah.
How often would we have to do this?
What's that?
How often would we have to do maintenance like this?
Well, I'm thinking if we just go back in with the minis, and that's why I say just go back in with the minis will migrate far, far less, if at all, because it's actual stone. It's the fines that are the things that are migrating. And so that's why I'm saying we would either reuse just a portion of the fines or completely haul them off and just use the minis. So I'm thinking, I would just look at it every 10 years, but maybe with just using the minis, we could wait till another 15 years before doing any more repair to it.
Good.
And Paul, didn't you say that, I'm trying to remember, but didn't you say you'd put $10,000 in the budget for the path? Is that what I remember you talking about?
Yeah, I just kind of boosted the budget up some, just, you know, to throw a number in there. Since this is a piece of a line of a departmental budget, as long as we stay within the departmental budget, we're fine. The issue here is going to be that it could potentially be more than $20,000 And I believe the charter says that when, or the code says that when that's true, the city manager should obtain three quotes whenever practicable. Mm-hmm. So I would say, I could ask Patrick, but my guess is before he approved this, he would want either some assurance that the total price will be less than $20,000, mm-hmm. or he'd want to see some more quotes for the per yard costs.
Well, yeah, and I think that's an excellent point. And what we could say is, give us an estimate not to exceed, and whatever that number is, you know, if his estimate comes out to $16,000, and we put it in at here's the quote, here's the unit cost not to exceed, then you would have it repaired to a point. I mean, any repair is going to be better. Is it perfect? Would 24 take it to perfect and 16 is okay? We can set that number and it's still going to look much, much better than it is now. So yeah. Whatever price point you want to set it to, I think will be a vast improvement. I just wouldn't probably go less than $10,000. But, you know, based on his estimate, it looks like it is something between, $16,000 and $19,000. So if we just want to set a bar at $15,000 and say, do these methods, but don't take it past $15,000, I think everybody would think this is great.
Yeah.
This works.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And then next year, finish it off?
If it needs anything more. I'm saying I think it could be done for, you know, his low end here is $16,000. So I'm thinking that's probably in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be great, though.
The magic of contracting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The magic of contracting. Okay, well, we've got an estimate, and Paul, let us know what the city manager says. Okay.
Will do.
And let me know if you have any questions or need any more information, Paul.
Great. Do y'all want to put this in form of a recommendation or let Paul check it out with the city manager first?
Make it a recommendation. That makes it easier on me.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Let's do a vote. So all in favor of making this improvement along Steve's estimate, a recommendation not to exceed, what, 19,000, Steve?
No, 15.
Yeah, let's just say 15.
15. Yeah. Okay. All right. Say aye.
Aye.
I'm tired of avoiding those puddles.
Me too. Yeah, okay. It's unanimous. All right. That's good. Our first recommendation for the year. Awesome. Okay.
And I did ask him to give me a separate quote for boulder placement. I have not received that yet, but I'll pass that along when I do.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So any more on the O&M that you want to cover today or move on to the next one? We just really want to kind of cover the things we've figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Capital projects, you're ready to move on to capital projects?
Yes.
Short term, we just had the update on the construction. So capital projects, construction. Update done. All right. And I know Leslie had asked about planning for the sediment removal. That'll be down the road. So I think we want to get finished with this one before we move on to the next one. But again, Leslie, correct me if I'm wrong. You're interested in how we plan to move on to that one, right?
Yeah. How the city, even if it's 2 years down the road, what are all the steps they have to take that we recommend they start to, you know, as far as getting estimates and things like that?
So my guess is we start with an RFP, right? To do the permitting and then the actual construction. Does that sound about right, Chris and Steve, Barbara?
I thought we need some sort of estimate so that for next year, so that the city can start putting money in the budget about the same time as we do an RFP.
Okay, so an estimate on the budget and RFP. RFP. Okay. Is that our step, Chris, you think, and Steve?
Do you have it independently estimated? Pay somebody to independently?
We probably should do that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talked about, you know, we had the lake measured for sediment years ago, over 10 years ago. Maybe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do we think that's the first step, is to have it surveyed for sediment?
Yeah, I think that's probably the first step, is probably just have another status survey before we even move forward and then spend money to anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll help identifying an estimate, because you got to know how much sediment you're going to remove to be able to calculate the cost.
Right.
All right, so status survey and then
estimate. Yeah, but that'll even guide us as to whether we need to do it.
True. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think we know the answer to that. I mean, yeah. It was recommended when we had it surveyed before, he recommended it within the next year or two. And mm-hmm. since then, we've had all the erosion of that slope, which has come as visible sediment at the top of the lake. So I have to believe that anybody looking at it is going to recommend that it gets dredged. But mm-hmm. but you're right. We want to know what it is before we know how to do it.
Yeah, and once you know the amount of sediment that has to be removed, then somebody can start working up costs. That's going to be the biggest thing, is how much do you want them to remove? Mm-hmm. And I would think that the city's going to need to know how much do they have to budget. And it's not in this year's budget, it's in next year or the year after.
Yeah, probably year after. Okay. So is that helpful, Leslie?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay.
Those are good steps for me to understand. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. So now the question is, do we want to start working on getting that survey now or wait a few months and get through this construction, see how this construction's working out? Because we'll be talking about that at the upcoming meetings. I don't want to tax a volunteer advisory board here.
I would definitely wait until construction's done.
Yes.
Okay. I agree. I like that.
Construction of the bioretentions are done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's going to, as much as you put ENS controls, there's still sediment. And you want to be able to get a good measurement on the survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. We got it. All right. Are there any other short-term capital projects we want to discuss tonight? I didn't have any. I really just wanted to get this distinction between how we conduct one project and then figure out how to plan for the next one. So the next big one, of course, is sediment. Long-term would be the whole area down below the dam and any other additional big projects we would have in mind.
Has there been I know we discussed this before, but do we also need a dam inspection? We haven't had that in a number of years. Or have you, Paul, had a dam inspection?
I put in a call to NRCS, and I haven't gotten a reply yet from them on the details. That's all I've done. I know the state probably does inspections, but I think that's if they think there's trouble.
Right.
But I checked NRCS. They're going to get back with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this an NRCS dam?
No, I don't know. It's a city. It was constructed a long time ago.
Okay. Yeah.
It is not on the safe dam list. And yeah, I was kind of hoping for some more guidance from y'all about who we should approach. approach about getting to do it. I have a couple of contacts, but I'd appreciate some more.
Okay. I'll get you some contacts.
Good. Okay. So we'll pick up on this next month and discuss it in depth. Okay.
Okay.
Is that good, Paul? All right. Now, what else did you need from us on like planning and budget that we've left out here?
Well, any more detail that you want to give me helps me refine the budget.
Okay.
So, I mean, if this maintenance project at the lake is kind of going to be the project for this year, fine. Or if you want to talk about doing some more of the boulders. I'd like to, present an overall plan rather than, piecemealing it if I'm going to make a proposal to the city manager.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah, as soon as I get that budget from RMG, I will add that to the list and send that to you.
Okay.
On the boulders.
That's all I had for the evening, unless there's something you guys wanted to add.
I don't know if anybody had a chance to check out that link I sent. That was just something Ellen had suggested, somebody she follows on Instagram or something. Woodskeeper, I forget the guy's name. But
oh, that's right. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, that was for the invasives. Yeah, did anybody have a chance? I took a glance at it, and I know that we've used somebody else who hasn't. What did the guy we usually use, Steve? Does he use he uses some herbicide, right?
He does.
Yeah.
And I looked through it quickly, but I didn't see. Does the Woodskeeper guy use herbicides?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but I think that's supposed to be his deal, is that he doesn't. He digs them all up, which I'm sure is far more expensive. But
yeah. Well, and I mean, in all reality, it's like a hydra. You cut the head off and two pop up. You just cannot pull up privet and expect to get rid of it. You have to use an herbicide. In my book, if somebody thinks differently, then please explain. But you can never get all the root pieces out. And if you leave any root piece, mm-hmm. it pops up as a new plant. So the only thing that gets rid of it is applications of herbicide. And the same thing with with wisteria, which is in the back of the woods. Mm-hmm. That I've never found anybody who could actually physically remove all. It's impossible. So if that's his thing, I would be skeptical.
Right. And it's going to pop back up because those roots are down in there and you pull them up, but it only takes a little bit for it to reestablish, which is why these things have to be maintained. So it's a cost thing and whether or not it really works. See? I mean, he should be able to give us one he's cleaned up and it's never come back. But I'll take another look at it and come back at you next month, if that's okay.
And if you want us to meet, with him out there, I'd be happy to pick one morning and talk with him.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, his before and after pictures are one location and he doesn't talk about what happens over the long term. It's just a before and after single snapshot, but there's not much on his website. I'm going to guess he's starting his business and he's still trying to build the website. So there's not a whole lot of information on that website.
Right.
And does that sound about right, Paul, that he's new into it and trying to build the business and that's why his website doesn't have much?
I don't really know the answer to that. I don't think I know any more than y'all do. Just a brief look at the link. So I'll ask Ellen if she has any more information she wants to share.
Right. Where did you get that his information from?
Ellen, the communication manager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is an avid gardener, and so she follows several people on Instagram and that kind of thing. And so she thought this was something we might be interested in to control invasives.
Right.
Okay. Now, our regular guy, he's still available, right, Steve?
Yes, Forrest Cascade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get to deal with a lot of invasives in some of the work I do, and my understanding is it's really not a herbicide-free activity if you're really serious about kudzu and privet as well.
So, and ivy
and all the nasties. All the actors, yeah. That's why they're invasives, you know.
That's why they're invasive, because they simply won't behave.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess our tradition, Paul, is that we trust our group as advisors. So Steve is our trusted person on this. So.
We have removed invasives from countless projects, including the West Side Park. If you've been out to West Side Park, our newest park on the West Side, our largest park in the city of Atlanta. Yep. And that had incredible amount of invasives that were removed, mainly physically, but then stump sprayed with an herbicide.
Right.
And, you know, it's a multi-year task. I mean, it looks good now, but by the end of next summer, we'll have to have them back out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to keep attacking these things over and over and over to beat them back. They're just nefarious. They're just endless.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've done a lot. And, you know, I was on the board of Trees Atlanta, and they're big at promoting the goats and the sheep. And those are good, basically, if they live there, because they have to keep eating them to finally kill them. And they can, but you can't just have a one time. They're out there, the kids love them, and then they're gone. They're going to come back. So it really comes down to the only efficient thing I know of personally is the use of herbicides. But again, no foliar spray, cut, haul off, and stump spray, which is very little spray.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So that's the plan. Any additional items we want to cover tonight? If we're good.
That's all I've got.
I'll take a move to adjourn.
A second. I move.
Thank you. Second, Chris. Okay, we're adjourned. Okay,
let me have one more agenda.
Okay,
so
back up.
If we've gone virtual, it looks like we're going virtual. You know, I was the biggest proponent for having these things at 7 or 7:30, but if we're virtual, I'm all for moving it down with the other ones. I would prefer 6 o'clock rather than 5:30, but you know, so Gina and Paul and the rest of them don't have to stick around and get on these things. If as long as we're virtual, does anybody have an objection to move this to 6 o'clock?
I think Barbara still has.
Barbara, you can't
in.
Do 6 o'clock.
I just got permission this week to telework 2 days a week.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
But they're set on Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
So if we do a Thursday or Friday, I can be at home. Otherwise, I can't use the county computer for personal business.
Okay.
So I'm stuck. I have to drive home, and it's an hour. I don't get home till about 6:30.
Okay.
Walking in the door.
Right.
So if we do it on a Thursday or Friday, I can telework. I'm off work at 5, not a problem. I can start at 5:30. I don't care, whatever time you all want, but it's got to be a Thursday or Friday for me.
I know the city manager asked us to stay away from certain weeks, but I'm good with Thursdays, I believe, for next month. Y'all want to pick a day, and then Paul and Gina can tell us what Thursdays we could choose from.
And what time we're going
to. I would suggest 6.
Steve's saying 6. I can do 6.
I'm good with that.
All right.
Is that better for you, Paul?
And Gina?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Works for me.
All right. So what Thursdays are available to us? Because we can't do the same as when there's city commission meeting?
It looks like the 17th or the 31st would be good. Those are Thursdays on weeks that the BOMC is not meeting.
Okay.
The 17th is St. Patrick's Day, which
it
makes
sure is. So we'd be drinking. It'll be an even better meeting.
Okay, give me your preference. I'll go around. Steve, what's your preference?
17th works for me.
Okay. Leslie?
17th is good.
Oh, Barbara?
The 17th is fine.
Chris?
Yeah, I don't have any plans.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, let's go for the 17th. We'll what be done early. We can go right to the bar.
MacArthur, that's Scotch Irish, right? You're gonna.
Yeah, be- no, I don't. Who knows? Maybe my wife will make some plans. I don't know.
Hey, my grandmother was born in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's set it for the 17th then.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty cool. All right, let's adjourn one more time. I need a move for adjourning.
I move.
And second. All right. Second. I got a move from Barbara and a second from Steve. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Is it 6 o'clock on the 17th? Is that
6 o'clock? Six.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.